The title of my message this evening, I have put in the caption, Unholy Water. If I were asked what I thought holy water was, I would not, of course, and knowing me, you would know that I wouldn't believe it was the holy water that the Pope makes. That's one thing that's definitely odd. I've often said that the holy water in the eyes of God is the tears of penitence from a soul sincerely and honestly seeking Jesus. Unholy water, I believe, are the bitter tears of a sinful soul in sad and hopeless remorse. His opportunity of heaven gone, his chance of receiving Christ passed away forever, and the soul in sinful, dark despair, sobbing out his remorse. We have such a case in the 12th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. And it's upon these verses that I want to preach this evening. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. I want to read those verses again. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Or ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance or of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. There are four great things about Esau in these verses of New Testament Scripture. First of all, there is Esau's seal. He had a seal, and he put up for auction his birthright. And one day, in his folly, and in his vanity, and in his depravity, and debauchery, he sold his birthright. I want to talk tonight about Esau's seal. Secondly, you have Esau's sentence. He was rejected. Those three words have wrapped up in them awful and terrible and irrevocable condemnation. He was rejected. May it never be said of you, sinner, that God said of you as he said of Esau, he was rejected. I want to talk a little about Esau's symptoms. And then as we come down these verses, you have Esau's sobs. Yes, he found no place of repentance, though he sought it earnestly with tears. The sobs of a soul in bitter and dark and sinful remorse. And there's no sobs like the sobs of the soul in such an awful plight as the soul of Esau. I want to talk a little about the sobs of Esau. Esau's sobs. And then last of all, we have a description of Esau's soul. God describes him. God defines his character. God says he's a fornicator. His soul is stained with the awful stain of fornication. He's a profane person. God writes this epitaph on the life and biography of Esau. And he says he's a fornicator. He's a profane person. So we're going to talk about Esau's seal, Esau's sentence, Esau's sobs, and Esau's soul. First of all, his seal. Yes, for one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. And in those few tense words, you have summed up the absolute folly of the man called Esau. You remember that Esau was the firstborn of Isaac. You remember that he was in the direct line, the direct genealogy from Abraham. It should have been Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Esau. But never in that book, my friend, do you ever read that Esau's in the direct line. Over and over again, you read Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Esau's missing. His name's deleted. His person is condemned. His privilege is taken from him. Why? Because one day he had a seal, and one day he sold his birthright. Poor Esau. The glorious birthright of the covenant. The privilege of being a recipient of divine grace and divine honor and divine blessing. And he came in hungry from the field, and Jacob was stirring his pot of lentil soup, and poor old Esau said, "Give me of your soup." Jacob says, "No, you're not getting this soup." And he says, "All right, you can have my birthright. Just let me enjoy and satisfy the appetites of my body. And let my soul go." What a fool he was. There's many a man and woman in the Ulster Hall tonight doing the very same thing. You're at the same business. You're at the same folly, my friend. You know what it says in this book? It doesn't say that he sold his birthright, no. It says, for one morsel of meat. How many a man has sold his birthright to be saved? His birthright to be a partaker of the covenant of grace. His birthright to be redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. His privilege to enjoy the pardon and the peace and the happiness of heaven. And he sold it, not for one morsel of meat, but he sold it from one foolish lust of the flesh. Have you counted the cost? Though your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world at the most, for the glitter of sin and the things it may win, have you counted the cost? I want to ask you, friend, is it worth it to sell your chance of heaven for a glass of beer? To sell your hope of heaven for the satisfaction of some appetite of the flesh? To sell your hope of heaven for a dance, a companionship, a game of cards, the ballroom, the theater, the picture house, or any other foolish bauble of sin and darkness? Is it worthwhile? For one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. I know men who have sold Jesus Christ for a glass of beer. I know young women that have sold Jesus Christ for the glitter of the ballroom. I remember speaking to a young woman one night concerning Jesus Christ, and the only thing that stood between her soul and Jesus was the dance hall. And she said to me that night, "No! No, sir! I'm going to have my dance! I'm not going to have Jesus Christ!" And she chose the dance, my friend, and in a very short time, a great affliction came upon her. And in a few months after that, she was in eternity. The dance of Jesus! Selling one's birthright for a morsel of meat. With God's book in my hand, let me tell you solemnly, friend, sinner friend, don't do it. Don't be a crazy hell-inspired fool. Don't, my friend, allow the old devil to deceive you and blind you. Don't allow anything to come between your soul and Jesus Christ. But this night, out of the heart that's scourged with sin and shame, ask God to save you. But don't put your soul up to auction. Don't put your soul up this night for auction. Esau's sealed. And then we read about Esau's sentence. It's a terrible sentence, isn't it? He was rejected. He was rejected. Is that what God's going to write in his great book concerning you tonight? He was rejected. That over your name in the great record book of God, God shall solemnly pass this eternal, irrevocable, dreadful sentence of eternal damnation on you. He was rejected. My friend, your acceptance and rejection rests on your relationship to Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ has received me, thank God I'm accepted in the Beloved. And because of His wounds, and because of His nail-pierced hands, and because of His thorn-crowned brow, and because of His flowing crimson blood, and because of His passion on the cross, bless God, I'm saved and accepted in the Beloved. It's the only reason. But you reject Christ, friend, and He will reject you. You say no to Jesus, and Jesus will say no to you. You turn your back upon God's Son, and God's Son will turn His back upon you. Oh, I know He's gracious. I know He's long-suffering. I know He's full of goodness and of truth. I know He spares man for many years. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But there's a day, there's a time, there's a place where the mercy of God is no longer in operation, and where mercy returns to heaven and leaves the soul in the darkness and the hopelessness of eternal hell. Listen to the words of Proverbs chapter 1. Because I have called, and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regard it. And the nail-pierced hand of Jesus has been outstretched to you, but you wouldn't regard it. Ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. What a day that'll be in the heavens, when God shall laugh. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call unto me, and I will not answer. He was rejected, so His prayers were not answered. They shall seek me, but they shall not find me. He was rejected, and He sought and sought, but He wasn't found of God. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. My friend, the saddest words that I've ever read concerning a man are those words: he was rejected. God going to have to say that about some soul in the Ulster Hall tonight? Some soul that has been prayed for and the Spirit of God has worked upon you, but you've rejected Jesus and you're going to reject Him now for the last time. I'm talking about the unpardonable sin now. I'm talking about a sin that the blood of Jesus does not cleanse. What about His search? Yes, He started to search, didn't He? Look at those words. He found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. There's his search. He's searching now. There was a time when the Lord was searching for him, but God's not searching for him now. It's a change. And now Esau is searching for a place of repentance. Oh, that I could repair the awful breach that I have made. Oh, that I could undo the awful crime that I have committed. Oh, that I could wipe my soul of the awful sin that stains my heart. That's his cry. And down yonder on his knees, at his father's bed, he cries, "My father, bless me, even me also, oh my father." But there's no blessing for the man that God has cursed. There's no salvation for the soul that God has rejected. There's no mercy for the man that's put himself by willful Christ rejection across the peel of God's opportunity. Searching, and he not only searched, but he sobbed. The tears and sobs of Esau. I see the tears coming from his eyes. I see them running down his cheeks until there's a pool of water on the floor of the tent. And he cries, "Oh, that I could only undo the past. Oh, that there was some way to tear this dark page out of life's history. Oh, there's only some way to rewrite the chapter. Oh, there's only some way whereby I can make amends for my folly and my shame and my profanity and my iniquity." But there's no way back. No way back for the soul that God has rejected. May God burn it into your heart, friend. You could commit a sin tonight that there's no pardon for. You could put a black, dark, damnable blot on your life tonight that'll never be cleansed. You could make a decision for night tonight that'll stand for all God's eternity. Oh, when I dwell upon these things, my heart is moved. It's no easy thing to be a faithful preacher of the gospel. It's no easy thing to seek to deliver oneself from the blood of souls. To think about that man in this meeting. My God, tonight, to think about it. That people listening to the preacher's voice, by one mad act at the end of this meeting, by one act of folly, by one act of satanic deception, could say no to God, no to Christ, no to heaven forever. And then afterwards, yes, there's an afterwards. And it says in the book, afterwards, he wanted to find a place for repentance. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing. What about the afterward, friend? I'm pleading to you tonight about the afterward of death. For after this life, there's death. How will you do when death comes? And I'm pleading with you tonight about the afterward of eternity. You know, we have Esau's soul here. He's a profane person. The word profane means that he has put his hand out And with a hand of sacrilege, he's tampered with the holiest of holies. He's put out his hand, and by that hand, a sacrilegious, profane hand of a fornicator, he has thought to make a fool of the holy things of God. You know, in this book I read of men that trample underfoot the Son of God, that trample underfoot the blood of the covenant, that do despite to the Spirit of grace. Sinner friend, don't do it tonight. In God's name, don't be an Esau. Be a Jacob. Though you're a twister by nature as Jacob was, and a sinner by nature as Jacob was, thank God there's pardon for the repenting soul. And there's life for the man that believes in Jesus. God help you to believe tonight. For Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we have had a solemn time. The Word of God has been plain. God, write it in hearts. Burn it in his souls. Make man repent tonight and turn to God. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, we're perfectly still and quiet before God. No one leaving the service just for one moment. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm making an appeal tonight to men and women to come to Christ. I know the Lord has been speaking here. I know the Lord has been speaking to your hearts. Oh, I trust tonight you'll listen to him. You'll heed him. You'll accept him. And you'll believe on him tonight. There's men and women in this meeting and they're saved. Thank God for every Christian. Thank God for every person born again. If you're a Christian, bow your head and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord, for pardoning me. You do that? Just do it now.